Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, but we will get back to your phone calls in just a moment because we have a very special guest on the line. And if you're a Dodger fan, you have to know your history. And Dodger history doesn't just start and end with players. Guys that had a huge part in Dodger baseball over the years were coaches and managers. And we were just celebrating the life of Tommy Lasorda, who was a Hall of Fame manager for 20 years with the Dodgers. And tonight we are celebrating a man that spent 67 years in professional baseball. He just celebrated another birthday, and he was and is considered the greatest third base coach in the history of the Dodger organization, and maybe even baseball. And I got to tell you, a lot of people in San Pedro and Long Beach were really excited when I told them Joe Amalfitano was joining us tonight. So here he is. Everybody loves Joe. Joe Amalfitano, thanks a lot for coming on.
David, thank you for that nice introduction. My God, that was pretty good. I appreciate that very much. Nice that call and have me on the show. And San Pedro's my roots. Born and raised there, did my schooling at St. Anthony's in Long Beach. Yeah, so I am familiar with both areas. Well, I'm familiar with the whole Southern California. I grew up and raised there. And I must say my time with the Dodgers, under the O'Malley Dodgers, I'm going to clarify that, was probably the most enjoyable. It was the most enjoyable time in my baseball life, which was a great time for me.
Joe, I got to tell you, once I told some of the people down there in San Pedro and Long Beach, including Phil Traney and John Papadakis, they were all over me. I mean, I'm their favorite son now that I'm having you on the show.
Well, you're talking about two families that are the pillar of San Pedro. Mr. Tom Papadakis, John's father, what a man. I mean, a man of class and loyalty. He had it all. Great man. Great. In fact, when I would lean on him for his advice on a lot of things, and he gave me some great guidance and direction. And then when you mentioned the Traney family, starting from the grandfather of those guys, is great Philip Felipe, the one that started it on 7th Street in San Pedro, and then it moved down below and then to the restaurant that they're in, and then Phil being over there in Long Beach. Yeah, great family. I must say this, it comes out of the kitchen real good there at those two restaurants.
Oh, yeah, it sure does. And you have a big part in the San Pedro Walk of Fame. Didn't you get Mike Socia to be inducted down there?
Well, I did. I was there for his induction. Whether I had any influence, I don't know. But they picked a good one there. In fact, all those people that are down there, I believe Tommy's down there too. I know that because I was born and raised, and they just started the walk, that I was sponsored by the Traney family, if my memory serves me correctly. But I was over there for Mike's induction. It was great. And Mike's one of my favorites. Mike Socia, Ron Renicki, Mickey Hatcher, and Dino Ebo, who is now the present third base coach of the Dodgers, and he is the top of the class. The top of the class. He's very good at what he does.
And he has told
me,
I think
I can judge on that. I don't know if I can judge on a ball player, but I can judge on the guy that does the work at third base.
No doubt. Many people regard you as the best they ever saw there for many different reasons, but Dino told me that you were his mentor as he was coming up through the Dodgers minor league system as a player and then a coach and manager. How grateful are you that your legacy lives on through a guy like Dino Ebel and also Ron Renicki and Mike Socia when he was the manager? I mean, Joe Amalfitano is the fabric of their basis of baseball.
Well, that goes back with Mike and Renicki about being a coach there when they were still playing, and we had a lot of fun. Let me tell you about those two guys. You know, they're baseball men. let aside from their skills, which they're major league players, and that's very difficult to do. It might seem easy for somebody sitting in street clothes, sitting in the stands, but it's a difficult thing to do. But what those two guys and Dino Ebo have in common, they got aptitude and retention. When it comes to the game of baseball, those guys have got that. And now the three of them have that instinct where there's no statistic to measure that instinct. You either have it or you don't have it. In the case of those three guys, they got it.
Joe, you were the third base coach for Tommy Lasorda for many years that he was the manager for the Dodgers. It would be hard-pressed not to ask you your fondest memories of the skipper.
The show's not long enough. No, the show's not long enough. We have to do a long show on that one because, you know, when I was called by Steve Brenner in the morning after his death, and he shared with me that Tommy had passed, and I knew that he was ill because I had spoken to him several times there at the end to Tommy. And when Steve shared that with me, I immediately turned the television on, and I did watch his MLB, and I was glued to it because of the still shots and the action shots of Tommy brought a lot of my great memories back between working for him and working with him. He really didn't work for him. He worked with him. This guy, there's no doubt, no question how much he loved baseball and how much he loves the Dodgers. And all that stuff, like he used to say, cut my wrist and Dodger blue would come out. That's true. That is true. He loved the Dodgers. And my best moments with him were when I would go in maybe on certain days to get the lineup from him, and he'd finish it. And his door was always open to his office. That was his philosophy. He would tell at the beginning of the year, my door is always open, meaning that the players could come in and go in and out of there as they wished if they had a problem. Naturally, if it had to be one-on-one, they'd shut the door. Well, there'd be occasions where he'd get done with the lineup, and he would get up and shut the door and lock it. And then he would start, I don't want to say, yeah, he kind of vented, you know, he did.
Yeah.
Things that would bother him that he would had to share with somebody, and he would share with me. Those were my precious moments with him. Yeah, really, really one-on-one stuff. I like that. And then, oh, God. There's so many stories, David. How in the world are we going to do that in 15, 20 minutes? I'm going to tell you one. I really like this one. It revolves around the both of us. When we'd go up to Candlestick, because that's where the Giants were playing at that time, and I know I was on the team and played in the first game that was ever played in Candlestick. And that ballpark wasn't real justice to the players' skills because of the wind and all the stuff they put on. Anyway, when you go up there to play the Giants, we would seem to have a rough time. And I being a bit superstitious, I don't know about Tommy, but I am. So we walked out. I had a night game. We walked out together, and I walked from the door in right field, which was the dressing room exit, to the field, and then the field to the dugout on the third base side, which was a long walk. It was over a city block, okay?
Yeah.
Well, you know, as he hit that door open, and now the fans that were already seated, it's about 15 minutes before the first pitch, okay? They start expressing themselves, okay?
Yeah, right.
Kind of a negative manner. And then he would take his hat off and salute them and blow kisses to them, and they'd boo all the more, see? So, I don't know if you ever seen it, but there was a movie that made at Candlestick, part of a movie was filmed at Candlestick, was Robert De Niro was in this movie, and anyway, there was a sniper in the stands, and I always, when I'm walking with him, you know, you hear these boos, and you don't know who's up there. It might be a little bit trigger happy, or maybe a little bit insane. I said, you know, Tommy, this is kind of dangerous. What are you talking about? So we walked to the dugout, booze all the way from the door to the dugout, We win that night, David. We win. And the next night, you know, we get go out pregame practice, come back in the clubhouse, go back out for the games. Hey, we're going out together today. No, I don't want to make that walk with you. No. Well, you know, then he kind of challenged me. I said, okay, I'll go out with you. So we go and hit the door. And when you hit that door to exit to the, onto the field, you're just about 3 or 4 or 5 yards at the most from the foul line in right field, if you could picture that. So we hit that foul line. It makes a, you make immediate left to go towards home plate to the dugout on the third base side. Well, we hit that foul line. I went to dead center field. And I start trotting. And he goes, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? So, and now I get out there and I take my time, and they are booing him to no end. And he's got that hat out. He's blowing them kisses. And they enjoyed every minute of it. I got in the dugout and I said, you're unbelievable. I mean, that was, to me, a funny thing. But that's him. He loved that stuff. He loved it. And, you know, he really, there's no greater motivator in my baseball life when talking to his players or his staff or nobody, I don't think, is better, be a better ambassador for the game of baseball. I know before him, it was probably Casey Stengel. We're going way back. But in my era, nobody better than Tommy. Nobody. Nobody sold the game better than Tommy.
No, you're 100% right. And the game missed him after he retired. And yeah, he was certainly a lightning rod for those Dodger-Giant rivalry games, Joe. You're 100% right. Oh, those are great memories.
I know when I went to work for the Giants after I had my wonderful time there with the O'Malley Dodgers, and I'll preface that again, he was upset. But he overcame that. There's two guys in my lifetime over there. Two guys, it's Vince Scully and Lasorda. When you say Dodgers, that comes to my mind, those two guys.
100%.
Vince Scully, what a daily double that is, you know? Yeah, both in the Hall of Fame for different reasons. Vinny, the best at what he did. The best, just simply the best. What Vinny did was he just reported the game, which I think the audience can follow that a lot easier. Sometimes I think some of them forget to report it. They go in a different direction. I won't go there. But that's enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what we grew up with here in Los Angeles. We grew up with Chick Hearn, Vince Scully, and Bob Miller, and you could never, obviously you knew that they loved their teams, but they called it right straight down the line.
I can remember playing in the Coliseum. I was with the Giants, and that's when the club first came out there, both teams, and you could hear those little radios in the Coliseum. You could hear Vince's voice and the action. The game, I was on the field. You could hear it.
Yeah.
You know, your Malfitano goes after a ground ball or whatever, but you could hear it. And he was the teacher, and the audience were just students, and he taught them.
That's how I learned baseball, growing up listening and watching Vince Scully.
You know, you could never get a better teacher than that. I'll tell you that. This guy, again, he just reported the game and did it better than anybody.
He is simply the best. The great Joe Amalfitano is with us on Dodger Talk tonight. And, Joe, I got to ask you about the 1988 Dodgers. If you look back with Kirk Gibson rounding third base after that home run, you're leaping as high in the sky as anybody. What do you remember about that night, and especially when you saw Gibson come to the plate?
Well, I thought of that the day before, because we had the meeting to go over Oakland. Tommy decided to, and it was a great decision, to have the meeting the day before. Normally, when we open a series, which this is the World Series, we would have that team meeting to go over the pluses and minuses of the opposing team. In this case, it was Oakland. But he decided to have it the day before, where they were a little bit more relaxed. And so we did, and we went over the whole team, the pluses and minuses again. And at the end, Tommy asked Jerry Stevenson, Steve Boros, and Mel Didier, who were on that Oakland team for about 5 to 6 weeks. So their report was quite lengthy and detailed. So he asked each one of them after we went through this thing, who they were the architect of this report, if they wanted to add anything. And Mel Didier brought up about Dennis Eckersley, who was the pre-dawn closer at that time. If the game was on the line, you were a left-hand hitter, and you had a 3-2 count on you, he was going to throw you a backdoor slider. Well, that was the script. You know, that's what it came to be in the ninth inning. That's exactly what happened. And what did I think? You asked me, David, when he... I saw him, at my vantage point of the tunnel going to the dressing room from the dugout, I could see him coming down. And then, he wasn't coming down to... he wasn't coming down there to have a conversation. He was going to come down there to hit.
Yeah.
It was all history after that. But I will say this. I can remember this like it was yesterday. It was 3-1, and Tommy, again, Tommy had Mike Davis steal. If he gets thrown out, we go home. The first game, we lose.
That's right.
I checked a lot of... I don't know what numbers he had to figure all that out, because that's where the industry is now. It's all numbers. I don't know. Is that gut, heart? What is that? What does that come under? I'm asking you.
That's under the eyes and being prepared and understanding the situation.
Well, you betcha. Because, he didn't get enough. He, being Tommy, didn't get enough credit, I think, in his career from the first pitch to the last pitch of a game. Anyway, Mike Davis, Tommy had him steal on a 3-1 count, and he's safe without a throw. Without a throw, okay? Now Gibby gets in, it's 3-2, okay? And what did Mel Didier say? 3-2, game on the line, accuracy pitching, backdoor slider. Gibby's in the batter box with 1.5 legs. His leg was hurting him. So in the box, ready to pull the trigger, he calls timeout and steps out. You remember the scene? I got a vivid picture of that.
I remember it.
Because I said to myself at that moment, that time, come on, get in there, Gibby. Let's find out if we can tie this thing up. Let's get a base hit and tie it to myself. And now here comes this pitch. He's on his front foot. He's got his hands back, and boom, here it comes. I watched Canseco. I watched the ball, then I left it. I watched Canseco, and I said to myself, my God, we just won this game. Because Canseco's body language, like 2 steps, and he stopped. I said, oh, my God, we won this game. So, that's a famous, famous shot. Every World Series now is Gibby's home run. And I also was in uniform to see Willie Mays' catch in the Polo Grounds. So how lucky have I been? But anyway, now Gibby comes around, hobbling like Chester in Gunsmoke. He's just making it around the bases. And he hits third. I was going to go to the plate, but all of our players and Tommy came out of that dugout. And I got about halfway, and I was going to join him. And I said to myself, oh, wait a minute. This one's going down in history. So I get to see myself every once in a while prior to the first game of the World Series when they leave that footage in there. But as I shook his hand, and my style was to shake your hand and hit you on your back, and I did it, and I was so excited. I hobbled with him. I hit him twice, and just when I was going to let go of his grip, he said, backdoor slider, Joe. My God, I think about that every time I see that clip on TV. Every time. Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Backdoor slider, Joe. And there were some people that said that that report was bogus. And that's not true. That was said. I had the report right here downstairs in my little manhole. I have that report that of each one of those players and what they did and all that. And it's not there in black and white, where this Mel Didier printed that in there, which was repeated by him in the meeting. Well, that's the story about that home run. That was one of the best. But you know what? We don't get there unless Socha hits his in New York.
That's right. Do you want to tell us? Yeah. I guess we'll have to have you on another night where you could tell us the story behind that home run, because there's more to that than meets the eye, right?
Oh, well, one thing, when he hit that home run, I know we did not win it, the series, but we were leading to it because that helped us. I remember looking up at heaven. I said, God, it's our turn. Not that Mike Sosa couldn't hit a home run, but right there, God couldn't. And listen, when he walked John Shelby, I could still see Gooden's face, facial expression when he did that, when he realized, what did I just do?
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah, two strikes, no balls, and walked him. Yeah. And then Sosa, boom, yep. And then we went on in the 14th inning, and Gibby hit one off of Roger McDowell, I think.
I posted that photo to promote you coming on the show tonight from the great John Suhu, you giving that backslap to Kirk Gibson in Game 5 of the NLCS, Joe. I'll send it to you.
I got it right in my room down here with his nice wording that he put on there that's very treasured by me. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, that's a great. Jeez, I had some great moments there. Oof, and I didn't play, but I just had some wonderful times. Those guys, all of that 88 team, if there was ever a team that was together to pull for one another, were we the most talented? And no. More desire? I would say yes.
That was my team. And that was the most special summer of my life as far as baseball goes, that 1988 Dodgers team. Will never be forgotten, Joe, and you were a big part of it. And 67 years in professional baseball, you're right, 20 minutes is not enough, so we're going to have you on the show again.
Well, I'd be more than honored to do it. Listen, when you see John or Phil, you please give him my regards, and you take care of yourself, and God bless you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for coming on, and many people love you and care about you, so thanks a lot.
Well, I can't say enough about the fans. They were very kind to me there. Not that I, again, what did I do? Just wave them in or tell them to slide. I got a few guys thrown out, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
It sure was. The special years. And Joe Amalfitano, his legacy lives on through his pupil, Dino Ebel, with the Dodgers today. Joe, we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Good luck to you, David.